lot of grace in his community. It's good. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for your scriptures which reveal more of you. We just ask that you'll open our hearts today. Just let your spirit fall on us afresh. Have your spirit move in this place and lead us further into your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you have a Bible, perhaps open it up to John chapter 16. I just love it that Jesus is comforting his disciples before he was about to be killed. So he was giving them some comfort, reassuring them that it was for their good that he must go away, and he would send the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, to be with them. And this is to their benefit. And this little passage gives us some more indication of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It says he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so that's what we're looking at today. And later on it says that he will lead them in further into the truth. And then we'll jump over to the Galatians reading, which reminds us that we are God's children and we can call to him as Abba, Father. So let today affirm our faith in Jesus, that we really are his children. So looking in chapter 16, verse 8 and 9 says that he will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin because men don't believe in Jesus. So when the world is written in opposition to Jesus in John's gospel, it generally means the unbelieving Jews, and most often the unbelieving Jewish leaders. And they are the ones being warned about in this passage, and time again we see that. Even in chapter 8 he says to them, I told you that you would die in your sins if you don't believe I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die. And now again, he says it again. When the counselor comes, the advocate, he will convict them of their sin and unbelief, just as Jesus himself had done. And we see that come to fruition at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and Peter started preaching the gospel, preaching it out, saying, you know, this is that Jesus that who was handed over to you, and you crucified him and you killed him, but he hasn't stayed dead. He's risen from the grave and he's seated at the right hand of the God, and he is being made Lord and Christ. And they were pierced to the heart, Acts 2 tells us in the scriptures. It says they were pierced to the heart and said, what should we do? The Holy Spirit convicted them, convinced them of their unbelief and their unfaithfulness to Jesus at that point, and they were saved. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. You know, if we want to see our friends and family saved, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and their need for a Saviour, their need for repentance, because that's not our job. We can't argue anyone into the kingdom of God. It's our job to share the gospel and share the scripture, but it's God's job, the Holy Spirit's job, to convict them that they need the Lord and Saviour himself. You can't argue anyone into the kingdom of God. You know, I had a friend, Tanya, for years and years and years. She's a really good friend from Mother's Group. We've known each other 28 years now. And many times over the years, we've had spiritual conversations. And when she was going to get her youngest baptised, she said, in the Catholic Church, I just want to get him done. You know, it wasn't anything spiritual about it, or, you know, meaningful. And so I really talked to her about the gospel and the meaning of baptism and her need for a saviour. And she fully understood the gospel. We'd had many late night conversations while we were away with the girls, sitting around the fire. And one day, sitting at my kitchen table, I said to her, we were just having another conversation, and I said, are you going to make Jesus Lord and Saviour of your life? And she said, no. And I said, why? And she said, I don't want to admit I'm a sinner. So she fully understood the gospel, but just wasn't willing to admit that she was a sinner. There was too much pride there. And we see that a lot. So I just got to keep praying for her that, you know, that the Holy Spirit will convince her that she is a sinner indeed and needs that repentance, because that's how we come to faith. We need to be humble to be able to come to faith in Jesus and receive him as Saviour and Lord. So keep praying for those people who are proud and stubborn. Do you know, I had another girl too in my church years ago, and she came to me and she said, I don't want to come to church anymore. And I said, why? And she said, because every week we just have to confess that we're sinners. And I'm sick of that. I'm sick of being reminded that I'm a sinner week after week. And she said, I'm not coming anymore. It doesn't make me feel good about myself. And I just thought that was so sad, because even the Holy Spirit, once we are saved, we still need a Saviour even after. We still need the Holy Spirit to convince us of our sin so that we can repent and draw closer to God. It's meant to draw us closer to God, not make us run away from Him. Like, Jesus didn't come preaching, you know, God is angry with you, be afraid, cringe in fear, run away. Jesus came preaching, God loves you. He wants to restore relationship with you. Turn around, come back to me. Draw close, repent, and believe the good news. This is a message of grace. So when the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and others of their sin, it's a grace movement, isn't it? It's Him pouring out His grace into our lives so we can repent and draw closer to God. And you know, I only realized that like this morning at 5 o'clock, laying on my bed, Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want to say to me? And I just, you know, imagined myself in the throne room of God, and He just said, look, you know, I want you to just remember and realize that there is nothing that you can do in yourself to draw closer to God, to come into His family, to get closer connected. It's all Jesus doing. And He says, likewise, there is nothing you can do once you're in the kingdom of God, once you're a child of God, you've received the Spirit, you're in His family, there is nothing you can do to get you out of that. You're in. Once you're part of the family of God, you're adopted as a child, and you are in. And that's what He told me on my bed at 5 o'clock this morning, so I'm just telling you that now. Now, where was I up to? It was great. That's right. And that just reminded me of the story of Cinderella. You know Cinderella, the Disney fairy tale princess, and like all little kids love that story because she becomes this like princess and gets to go to the ball and gets the prince, the happy ever after. But do you know what makes that story so more impacting is that she started out the underdog. So if you know the story of Cinderella, she was the rightful heir to the whole household. So she had a stepmother, stepsisters, and when her father died, and all the estate was really rightfully hers, the stepmother turned nasty and basically kept her in a broom closet as a slave, and she had to clean and, you know, earn her right to just be part of the family. And, you know, the stepsisters were treated like special and fancy, and she was really hard done by. But we aren't, I think many Christians live like Cinderella. Yeah, we're part of the family, but we're not actually really claiming our rights, what our true inheritance is, and living as rightful heirs in the kingdom of God, in His family, in His home. We're like slaves. But I just want to say, there is nothing you can do, no work that you can do to earn your part in the family of God. It's just given to you by the grace of God. And so once you know that, you can live as a child, confident, coming to the throne room of God and just standing before Him as a child of God, as a rightful heir, confident, and asking for what you need, and you will not be sent away. And that's the truth. The truth sets us free from Satan's lies. He would love to see us keep living as slaves, slaves to sin, slaves to guilt and shame and condemnation. But the truth sets us free. And that's what the Spirit does too. He leads us further into the truth of God, to your true identity in Him, to how He wants you to live, to how you're called to live, free. Free from all that. We're not Cinderella. We are children of God, and we'll live like it as rightful heirs. So our adoption as God's children gives us right standing with God. That Holy Spirit is a guarantee, a deposit of your inheritance that you have in Him. It assures us that we really are the children of God. If you're born of the Spirit, you're born of God. You're part of His family. And you'll never be kicked out. I wouldn't put it to the test, but I'm just saying that I think we'll be all right. So let's keep step with the Spirit and allow Him to convince us when we go wrong, convict us of our sins, so that we can repent and draw closer to God in loving, beautiful family relationship. He's our Father, and He's always there to show grace and forgiveness. So let's live free from slavery to sin and legalism, and learn to live as Jesus did in the beautiful, affirming love of God. All that He has is ours. We are true heirs through faith in Jesus Christ. So enjoy your blessings, people. Enjoy that close relationship with your Father. And and every blessing he has for you, that is your inheritance. Let me pray. Almighty God, thank you so much that all you have is ours, that it's just so huge for us to comprehend and get our heads around. We can never actually even take all that in. But just give us a little extra glimpse today, a little bit more of your truth and revelation, a little bit more of your spirit and your freedom and your peace and your joy and your good blessings for us, Lord. We receive them right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall afresh upon us today, Lord. Thank you for every good gift. Jesus Christ. Amen.